Friends and How I Met Your Mother. If you can believe it, I'm David.
I'm Natalie.
I like when I...
You caught me off guard.
Yeah, that was the plan.
Yeah.
You're surprised that reminds me of... do you remember one of my favorite moments in the history of Curb Your Enthusiasm? And it's from one of the weakest seasons, too. The Seinfeld reunion season.
Okay.
But do you remember when Jerry meets Funkhauser?
Okay,
and yeah. Funkhauser, the first thing he does is like, you're a comedian, let me tell you a joke. And he tells a very long, incredibly filthy joke.
Right.
And Jerry Seinfeld, like, clearly, like, just break, like, he just finds it hilarious.
Yeah.
And then he says, yeah, you surprised me. I did not expect it to be that revolting. So that's what I did to you. It wasn't revolting, but I still surprised you. Right?
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, we both got a lot of sun this weekend.
I'm in a little bit of pain.
You're in a lot of pain from getting sunburnt. I'm very tired. Like, a day at the pool just, like, wears me out in ways that...
You gotta be thinking about being tired. I'm yawning. Yeah.
Yeah.
Contagious.
It's real hot.
I don't know what we went to the pool, your sister's pool yesterday, and I put sunscreen on, but I think maybe the issue is that I put sunscreen and then like immediately got in the pool and it just like came off.
Yeah, you're supposed to like let it settle in.
That's what I should have done.
And also, I don't think you got it on your back.
I think I did. I think I just immediately washed it off.
I think the evidence shows that you didn't.
I'm saying the evidence is that it washed off immediately.
Listeners, let us know.
What do the listeners know?
Obviously, I'm kidding. It's a joke.
They don't know jack shit, is what I'm saying. I mean, they know some things. They say some things to us, and we'll get to that when we get to our segment.
Okay.
I don't know how much we actually have, but we are making that a segment now. It doesn't have an official name, but we'll reference it when it gets there.
Yeah.
No, this is a show where we watch an episode of Friends and an episode of How I Met Your Mother each week, and we discuss, compare, contrast, all that sort of things. Today, we're on season 3, episode 14. Season 3, episode 14 of Friends is called The One with Phoebe's Ex-Partner. Season 3, episode 14 of How I Met Your Mother is called The Bracket. But we're going to put a pin in the bracket, and we're going to kick things off with Friends, season 3, episode 14, The One with Phoebe's Ex-Partner.
Take it away, Davey.
We get a perk opening.
Yeah.
We open at the perk.
Outside of the perk.
Yes. Right. But then, we cut inside. And this episode was so much fun for two big guest stars.
Yeah.
Immediately, E.G. Daily
is
singing. I love E.G. Daily. Everyone loves E.G. Daily.
You know her from? Because I know her as the voice of Tommy Pickles.
Oh, well, she's also the voice of Babe.
That's right.
But she's also, she doesn't just do voice work, she's also an actress, and she, when she was much younger, she was in Valley Girl. She was like kind of like, you know, promiscuous best friend of the main girl. So those are the things that I know her from, but she's been in a lot of stuff. But I don't know anything about Rugrats, did not grow up with cable, didn't watch Rugrats, I don't know.
Yeah, I loved Rugrats, I loved Doug.
Yeah, I don't know these things.
I had Nickelodeon, and we've gotten in a lot of arguments about this. I wasn't a rich kid.
To me, when I was a kid, I always thought only rich kids had cable, only rich kids had, like, new video game consoles. Like, as kids, we were always, like, a generation behind on video game consoles.
We didn't have video games. We didn't have an answering machine. But my parents...
You didn't have an answering machine.
We didn't have an answering machine.
Those were not expensive.
I know, but just like electronics in general. But what I'm saying is my parents weren't rich, but we were like latchkey kids. And so it was easier for my parents to let the TV raise us.
Okay.
Which is not rich. It's more just like neglectful.
Okay.
And also my parents only had two kids and we weren't in any sports or anything. So
right. There were four of us and we played every sport known to man. No, that's not true. We just played the main ones. We weren't playing like... lacrosse or anything.
Yeah.
We played a lot of sports that cost money. You're right. But we didn't have cable. I didn't have cable. Here's the thing. Because I'm the oldest of four. And there's me and my sister are close in age and there's a little bit of a gap. And then my two younger brothers are closer in age. And for some reason, my mom decided once me and my sister were out of the house, that's when we're getting cable. That's when we're getting a pool table in the basement. Like, yeah. all this cool stuff
yeah.
that my brothers got to have for their high school years,
yeah.
I didn't get.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, okay. But we all know and love Idris Daly, except, you know who doesn't is Phoebe. Phoebe does not like Leslie, Idris Daly's character.
Right.
Because we find out that they used to be singer-songwriter partners. They used yep. to be in a duo together, and mm-hmm. Leslie quit to sell out, basically, to go write jingles yeah. for TV commercials.
Yeah.
So I've only barely gotten over the, hey, that's Idris Daly shock mm-hmm. when who comes out of the men's room of all places?
Motherfucking Sherilyn Fenn.
Sherilyn goddamn Fenn. Audrey motherfucking Horn comes yeah. out yeah. of the restroom because Chandler's waiting for the men's room. Sherilyn Fenn used the men's room because the women's room was occupado, which is a common thing that
yeah.
that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. The first time, I know you know this story now, but sometimes you have to listen to me tell stories, you know, for the listeners. The first time I ever went to Las Vegas was without you. I went with my friend Frank and we drove and there was, I mean, it's, this isn't a fun thing. There was a terrible accident on the 15.
Right. Yeah.
Brutal accident that basically meant we were in traffic for
hours,
just not moving at all for like, it took us 9 hours to get to Vegas, which if you don't know, it should be under five, four and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it took us 9 hours and most of that was just this 3 mile stretch where we just weren't moving for hours and hours.
And it was hot, right?
It was very hot, but the AC in my car, worked. My car was a little bit newer than the AC works now, but if
but you're, when
you're not
stopped,
moving,
it,
like, that's yeah. what I'm saying. Back then, yeah. the AC was a little stronger than it is. Anyway, and the only on that stretch of 3 miles, it's the middle of the desert. There's only one place to stop. There's a Shell station at Razor
yep.
Road.
Yep.
And I've since been there, and it's weird to revisit that place because it was
is
like.
Is that the one with the panhandlers? It has like the
no.
statue of the. But do you know the gas station I'm talking about?
Yeah, but that's. I think that's further.
It's further. Okay.
I think.
Okay.
Further from LA. So we finally like get up. We like. Because we haven't peed in hours. We haven't had anything to drink or yeah. eat. I mean, yeah. we probably had water. We haven't had anything all day. And we go to this Razor Road Shell station. And it's, I used to have a video of my phone. I don't know if I still have it, but it was like a disaster area.
Yeah.
Like just people just in survival mode. The shelves were completely picked clean. Children were screaming. People were like, yeah, and there were two bathrooms. There was a women's room and essentially a unisex room because everyone was just using it. Yeah. But a lot of the men were just going out into the desert to just pee out there because it was just a disaster.
Yeah.
And I remember we were like, I'm gonna get some food. And like all that was left, I got like a little bag of pop chips
mm-hmm.
and I got one of those like Little Debbie oatmeal like cake sandwiches, which I hadn't had since I was a little kid, but it yeah. was like there's like nothing to eat and I haven't wow. eaten all day and that's what I got. And then we
I
got
feel
back
bad
in the car.
For those like probably two employees at that gas yeah. at that Shell station.
Yeah. We actually had to park on the we got off the off ramp. People parked along the off-ramp, no place to park.
Yeah.
No place to park at Razor Road. We had to get back on the on-ramp, like we were going towards, back onto the 15 North, pull over to the shoulder of the on-ramp and walk down to the station. Anyway.
It sounds horrible.
It was a disaster. It was a bonding experience for me and Frank. Yeah. I remember your friend, I won't say which one of your friends in case you don't want you to, but when she heard the story, the first thing she asked was, did you guys fight? I was like, no. But I like that was where her mind went. Like, if I were trapped in a car for
yeah,
9 hours.
With anyone, I would fight. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're way behind. Okay. So this Sherilyn Fenn's playing a woman named Ginger. Chandler hits it off with her. But then she sees Joey when she's coming back out of the restroom area, and we realize they have a past. Joey like tries to hide behind the
yeah.
coat rack from her, so obviously there's something bad. And then, I'm sorry. Ross, Ross goes to Phoebe, to Rachel's, work.
Yeah.
And he just will not.
He's still a jealous idiot
about learn Mark. A lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been like 3 episodes now where he's still doing the same bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. So
jealous doofus.
Yeah. So, but he's Mark, his perceived romantic rival, has quit, and Ross is being a real like sore winner.
Yeah. About so the situation. He's so happy that Mark quit.
Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, we get a little bit more of the Phoebe and Leslie background, because Phoebe and Monica, first off, are playing with a Ouija board for no reason. It's like, that's how the scene starts, and then it never is talked about again.
It's a choice.
Yeah. I've never done it. I never played with a Ouija
board. Oh, I used to all the time. We had one, my sister and I. Mm-hmm.
Playing with dark forces there.
Yeah.
All right.
I never moved the planchette myself, but it did move.
I don't believe you. So yeah, we learned that they like grew up together. Their moms worked together on a barge, and they were partners. And Phoebe still feels very hurt about Leslie abandoning her.
Yeah.
Then Joey shows up, and we get the background on him and Ginger.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reference to Gilligan's Island. Mm-hmm. Monica says something about, no, I definitely remember her name was Ginger, because I thought I said like the movie star or whatever. Which Gilligan's Island always makes me think of you.
Yeah.
Because you have the same name as Lovey Howell.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yep.
Spelled
one letter off, though.
It's different spelling. Very rare to see your last name spelled the same way you spell it correctly. Out in the world. Correctly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's rare.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's only one.
There is one that we won't talk about. Yeah, but I remember you when we were like first dating, you told me like, yeah, people over a certain age or gay men mm-hmm. generally tend to like mm-hmm. immediately recognize the name.
Yeah.
And are being, I can't remember why your name came up at my job. And my coworker, who is a gay man, like,
but when you told me that, I was like, is he gay or old?
Yeah,
like, oh,
yeah.
He's gay.
Yeah. Who like, as soon as he heard your name, he went, Lovey? And like, I told him what you said, and he was like, oh my God, I'm such a stereotype.
Yeah.
So the thing we find out, okay, about Joey and Ginger is that Ginger has a prosthetic leg. I'm guessing, because I'm like watching Sherilyn Fenn walk, I'm guessing it's like below the knee.
Yeah.
Because like, we know from a later scene that it's her right leg.
Yeah.
But her right leg, we see her like walking a bit, unless it's like, I don't know. She says she doesn't have like a bionic leg or whatever.
Yeah, we don't see the prosthesis.
I think it's supposed to be below the knee. I don't think it's important. But but it turns out that Joey and Ginger had a romantic cabin weekend together, and he went to throw another log on the fire, accidentally threw her leg on the fire.
Right. Which is better than her dog. Like, he was introducing the story.
There's a whole thing where he introduces the dog, Pepper.
Yeah.
I think just for the purpose of people being like,
it was supposed to be like,
oh no,
for comic effect, but it wasn't funny.
But it's also like, there's no reason for him to mention Pepper.
Exactly.
Other than for the joke.
Yeah.
Which isn't really a joke.
It wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah. But so that's why Ginger still holds a grudge. Or actually, I should say, Ginger doesn't hold a grudge because he accidentally threw her leg on the fire. And that sucks. But the thing really that clearly she holds a grudge about is that he then left.
Yes.
Rather than deal with his embarrassment, he just left her there.
Yeah.
That, I think, is probably what's still, you know, chapping her hide. Ginger's on her date with Chandler. This is what we find out, because she steps in like a puddle of like
icy,
snowy water, and she's like, it'll be fine. And that's kind of how, we don't see it happen. This is kind of how we learn Chandler finds out about the prosthetic leg. Speaking of evading or talking around the issue, Ross is They're Ross and Rachel are in bed together. Ross is reading Dostoevsky.
I didn't notice.
Yeah. And he is bothered by the fact that despite Mark quitting, Ross, Rachel and Mark are planning on going to like a lecture, like a fashion, fashion lecture. Like lecture, yeah. on the weekend. So yeah, he's being a baby and eventually like invites himself along in Mark's stead. So Mark isn't there, but he goes, instead. There's a bunch of stuff here that basically culminates in Phoebe and Leslie kind of briefly make up. Phoebe, mm-hmm. like, is talking to Monica about, like, because she was annoyed that Leslie kept paging her, mm-hmm. but then she, like, stopped and she was annoyed, so then Phoebe, like, shows up the coffee shop and sings a duet with her. So they're friends again for now. Meanwhile, Ross is being such a bored, annoying little baby at mm-hmm. the lecture.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how you go to a fashion lecture, but I would go. That sounds really interesting to me.
It does, but it's funny. Like when we get the scenes at the lecture, the like seats are so close together. It's like stadium seating, like movie theater seating.
Well, I think it's supposed to be like a university lecture hall, right?
Yeah, I guess. But he's just listing off things in the new fashion line, like strappy sandals. High cut back. Like, he's just naming things that are in fashion for the season. It doesn't sound like a very compelling lecture. So I guess Ross is...
But he's still, like, being annoying.
Yeah. He's snoring. Phoebe. Like, he's falling
yeah.
asleep.
So
he's
Phoebe
snoring.
And Leslie are playing very together. Ross is... Yeah, he falls asleep and wakes up. Meanwhile, Chandler is being a real baby. Like, yeah. Monica comes to, like... say, how'd the date go? And Chandler's, like, being, I hate to, like, he's being very ableist.
I was going to say, we can add ableism to the list yeah. of, like, problematic.
Like, I don't even understand what he's so freaked out about.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's freaking out. Ross and Rachel have, like, a pretty serious, fight about Ross like snoring, and we get like there's some interesting character stuff. We get to what it's about, although I didn't like because Rachel is like, but I come to your boring like dinosaur lectures or whatever, which is a good point. Like if she goes to those yeah. then Ross should like not be a baby about going to the fashion thing. But then Ross is like, 100 million people came to see a movie about what I do, talking about, you know, mm-hmm. Jurassic Park, and he's like, no one will come to see Jurassic Park. And I was just thinking, like, this is a world where the Devil Wears Prada doesn't exist yet.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Yeah.
Yeah, there is a massively successful, you know, a new classic, a new American classic movie. Not that I've ever been a huge fan of the Devil Wears Prada, but maybe I need to watch it again.
What about, I was trying to think of other movies that are, like, fashion.
Well, there's the...
Prêt-à-porter
is the Robert Altman one. It's the other first place my mind goes.
I would argue also, like, any... Well, I guess like Clueless is very like fashion forward.
But I think to it's Ross's point, it has to be like in the fashion world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure there are other big ones that I'm missing. There's a not very good movie from a couple of years ago called Greed with Steve Coogan, where he plays like kind of the scion of like a Zara H&M style like fast fashion ripoff. Mm-hmm. Empire, but that's not really about fashion. It's just about it has, but the movie does have a lot of like just kind of sobering things about how that world works.
He could have, if he wanted to like get even with her, he could have brought up that like big award ceremony uh-huh. at the museum that uh-huh. everyone was late for and no one took it seriously.
Except Rachel, that's the upshot of that episode is that Rachel did take it seriously,
right.
You know, that the whole reason she was like,
she did take it seriously, yeah. but she didn't like get it together in time.
Yeah, but she was like taking her time or
yeah
indecisive because she was
wanted
taking
to
it seriously.
Play the part. Yeah. Yeah,
but the fight gets to a really interesting, I think, place that actually is true to the characters. That Rachel likes that she has things that are not a part that Ross is not a part of.
Right.
She likes that she has her own things, which makes sense for a person like Rachel who up until 2 years ago, lived completely according to, like, the plan her parents had for her. And, like, so the idea that she has things that are her own are very big to him, big to her. Whereas Ross wants to share everything, which, again, I think is understandable, because he is still, I think, freaked out about the fact that his marriage, his old marriage, his marriage fell apart in ways that he didn't see coming. So anytime Rachel has an interest that isn't, that he isn't involved in,
he's panicking his, in his mind.
He's catastrophizing, like, this is going to be the thing that takes her away from me. So I understand that's, I really like this, this scene and this argument.
It's true to their character.
Well, what else? And then we get a scene where Chandler's trying to be cool about Ginger's prosthetic leg, but then she's very not cool about his third nipple. She literally just
weaves. It's a nubbin, it's got a nubbin.
Yeah, he calls it a nubbin. I don't really like that word.
Oh, I love it.
Well, it leads to a funny moment. I don't know if it's one of your funniest moments. Okay, I won't say it. So she bails. We find out that Phoebe and Leslie's reunion is short-lived because Leslie wants to sell Smelly Cat as a jingle, and Phoebe says
to a kitty litter company.
Yeah, Phoebe's like, I don't want that. I told you I don't want that. You have to choose between, you know, if you want that, you can have the song. And then we cut to them watching a commercial of a very, like, cheesy version of Smelly Cat.
Yeah. Speaking of cheesy versions of Smelly Cat, this won't be the last.
Oh, okay. I like that. I like that. And yeah, could have saved that for Under the Umbrella.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Then we get a tag at the end where we find out that Chandler had his nubbin removed.
And that was surgically. A source of his humor?
I guess. All his power.
All his power?
But I guess that, I mean, what would the recovery be like for something like that? It seemed like he wasn't. He was like, I just came from. So it's obviously an outpatient procedure that makes sense. But like, is he bandaged up? What's going on?
I'm sure there's a little bandage under there. Yeah.
Well, so that's everything that happens in the one with Phoebe's ex-partner. Do you have any other stray observations before we get to funniest moments?
Nope.
So not, I don't think, a super laugh out loud episode. But I should have said this. So I'll set it up now. This whole scene with Ross reading Dostoevsky and being like self-conscious, it all starts because he is trying to find a way to bring up the fact that Rachel and Mark were like, see you Saturday, when they left.
Yeah.
And so he says he was thinking about a funny thing that Mark said.
Yeah.
And then, you know, later then Ross is like, she's like, we're just friends. He's like, don't you have enough friends? And then she's like, if I stop playing with Chandler and Joey, am I allowed to play with Mark? And he's like, is that a joke? Is that supposed to be funny? And she says, I don't know. You thought See You Saturday was funny.
Yeah. I laughed at that too. It's such strange behavior on Ross's part, because after that interaction, we know that he was jarred by the, like, See You Saturday remark. So why not right after did he say, like, oh, what, in his, like, Ross way, like, what are you doing on Saturday? Like, doesn't that seem like...
It does, but do you think maybe, like, he has learned enough about how his jealousy is a turnoff that he, like, tried all day to not say anything, and then, like, tried to find a way to bring it up?
I guess, but then wouldn't you, like, do it in a way like, what are we doing this week? Any plans this week? You know, like...
But he's not a... mature. He's like, clearly, I don't know. I in this episode, I feel like I'm not endorsing Ross's behavior any more than I have been the past weeks, but I feel like David Schwimmer really, like, sold to me how much this is, like, a source of
insecurity
and anxiety for him. And I did kind of feel for him a little bit, even though I don't think that anything he was doing is the way that a loving partner should behave.
Yeah.
I did kind of feel for him.
Yeah. Okay. One of my funniest was when Phoebe was telling Monica about her and Leslie's relationship and how they met when they were young and their moms worked on the barge. And Monica's like, oh, I could imagine you and Leslie, how cute, like little girls riding around the barge. And then Phoebe very seriously says, you never run on a barge.
That's great. Yeah. Do you have any more?
Yeah. Okay. It was.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Ginger, when she's running out of the apartment, like creeped out by the third nubbin. Uh-huh. And he's trying to like get her to stay, and she says, "Oh, it's nubbin, nothing."
Is that it?
I have one more.
Oh, please.
And so when Rachel and Ross were arguing, she's like, "I sit through the lectures with Professor Pitstain," and then when Ross is like, "It's Professor Pitstain," yeah, which I just thought was like in her mind, she's like Pitstain.
Yeah. Should we move on to Friends But Make It Fashion?
Yes.
I don't know if I should, like, itemize each individual coat that I loved in this episode, or if I should just be, like, coats. Because, like, it was a wintertime episode. Yeah. We saw Chandler and Ginger on a snowy outdoor New York walk. Mm-hmm. And everyone's coats were just great. I will specifically single out the kind of off-white coat that Ginger wears in multiple scenes, mm-hmm, in this episode. Mm-hmm. And then also when Phoebe bursts in and joins Leslie, she's wearing a mustard-colored, like, floor-length coat. And you know I'm a sucker for yellow and any mustard, sort of yellow hues.
Me too.
What do you got?
Well, I don't know if this is props to the props department or fash to the fashion.
Good.
But Leslie had a statement necklace with, like, dice all over it.
Oh, okay.
And it was definitely a look.
Yeah?
I didn't like it or dislike it.
I want to, like, I know we normally observe a strict division between our two shows.
Yeah.
But I feel like there were multiple statement necklaces on this How I Met Your Mother as well that there's a lot of stuff I didn't like.
Yeah.
But I didn't hate these necklaces because both Lily and one of Barney's ex-conquests.
The butterfly?
Lily's was like a bronze, like, dream catcher necklace. Ugh. And then Meg was her name. She had, like, I don't think it was, like, the female signal symbol. I don't think it was specifically that, but that's kind of what it looked like.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't clock that one.
Anyway, I didn't hate them. But anyway, back to Friends.
Do you have more fashion? Because I have more.
Yes, I do. Let me, I'll do two for one and then be done.
Okay.
Joey had two great shirts.
Okay.
I'll start with my second favorite. My second favorite shirt of his is when he tells the story about what happened with him and Ginger. He's wearing, like, an oversized, like, red sweatshirt, but it has these very cool double-striped bands and waistband. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. It looks kind of like throwback, like a 90s version of, like, a 50s, like, prep school gym outfit. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I thought that was very cool. And then my number one favorite thing that Joey wore, and I wonder if he borrowed it from when he was the cologne cowboy at the department store. In the opening scene, he's wearing a very cool, like, Western style shirt. That's like the I don't know what you call this pattern, because it's like, it's a flannel, but normally we think of flannels as plaid, but this is more like the, I think it's kind of like Native American inspired, which is probably problematic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like almost almost pastel hues. Like, it looks very like New Mexico.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Anyway, it's a great Western shirt. But as I'm describing it out loud, I'm realizing probably some appropriation going on there.
Joey also has a really great, like, oversized cable knit sweater, like orange and black sweater.
Okay.
That I liked a lot.
Yeah, everything's still oversized. I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's still 90s, and we're still in the midst of the 90s.
I have another props to the props. Do you remember seeing a Jones soda on the table in the apartment?
No.
Do you remember Jones soda?
Yeah, they still exist, don't they?
I don't know. But you couldn't see the label, but you knew it was Jones.
Yeah.
If you know Jones.
Yeah.
You.
I don't think I ever had a Jones soda.
I had them.
Yeah? Were they good?
Mm-hmm. But the best part was just, like, picking them out, because they all had fun.
Yeah, different pictures.
Different photos.
Yeah, yeah.
Different stories, yeah.
Anything under the umbrella here?
Yeah, we talked about Ross being an insufferable, jealous idiot doofus. Yeah. Three eps in a row. We've talked. Oh, do you have one?
No.
You don't have to go. Phoebe's odd childhood, kind of a lot of darkness to the childhood. Mm-hmm. We had some Rachel nipples and discussion of Chandler nipples.
I didn't even notice Rachel's nipples. Normally I notice and respectfully don't say anything. I didn't even notice.
But I'm allowed to.
I didn't even notice, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about ableism. We could add it to the list of humor that doesn't age well.
Yeah, but I don't even know, like, I guess the word jokes, but just, like, the idea that this would be such a deal breaker seemed weird to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, I'm not sure what the problem is supposed to be.
He just can't get over it because they're, like, shallow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if that's it, should we take a quick break?
Yes.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, we're back and we're ready to talk How I Met Your Mother, Season 3, Episode 14, The Bracket. Natalie, take it away.
Okay, so we're introduced to March Madness, which we talked about last week. It's the bracket of college basketball. Is it 64? It starts at 64 mm-hmm. and it gets
64 teams, yeah.
whittled down to 4, right?
And well, then yeah, it divides in half every round. Yeah. So, yeah. Eventually, there's just one.
Yeah. But we learn that Ted and Marshall are obsessed with it, mm-hmm. and they need, like, a big chalkboard, so they go to Lily's classroom on a Saturday and steal her class's chalkboard.
they're just running down the sidewalk with it?
Yeah, there's a janitor working, and they're like, "Oh, we're here to see Lily," and he's like, "It's Saturday," and then they steal the chalkboard.
And the janitor calls him a dumbass.
Yeah.
"It's Saturday, there's no school." Dumbass.
Yeah. So
are you obviously the answer is no, but even as, like, I'm not a basketball guy and I never really was, but I always liked March Madness because I think there's something that speaks to nerds about brackets. Mm-hmm. I think nerds like brackets.
Yeah, because it's like,
it's fun,
but it's also, like, very, like, stat heavy and strategic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, gambling, too. So, yeah, all these things are kind of appealing.
Yeah, I've participated in work. I mean, not for years since pre-pandemic, but, like...
Yeah, me too.
You know, you bet $5 and fill out a bracket. It's fun. I remember not to the extent of Ted and Marshall, but my dad and our neighbor, Frank, not the Frank that I mentioned earlier.
Different Frank.
But you've met my childhood neighbor, Frank. He and my dad would... obsess over. They would like Ted and Marshall, like, get together and, like, hash out their brackets.
Yeah. So they were talking about how this is such a big deal for them and they have a really great team and they're going to win $100,000. And immediately Barney comes in and says, like, "Oh, your team lost."
Yeah.
So that was just, like, a delivery system for the main driver of this episode, which is Barney. We get a glimpse of, so he's noticing a pattern of, like, striking out in public places. So we get a hardware store, and we get a pet store.
And museum.
That's right.
And all of these places, the same thing happened, where he's, like, hitting on a woman, it's going well. He steps away for a reason, comes back, and they smack him in the face.
They slap him, yeah. And then there's a scene at McLaren's, and Lily is sitting there... Barney walks away and a woman, we just see her from the back. She's mm-hmm. a mystery woman. And she said, don't trust him. He's a liar. Don't believe anything he says. Everything he says is just to take advantage. I don't know what she says exactly.
She uses the phrase, get in your pants.
Get in your pants. Yeah. Okay. And It all happened so fast that Lily doesn't even know who she is, mm-hmm. and Barney can't figure out who she is. So there we get the March Madness. So we're using the chalkboard now to discuss the 64 top conquests of Barney. So already had to narrow the list down.
Do you think, is he narrowing, because he's trying to figure out, it's not his 64 like top faves.
Yeah.
It's the 64 women that have the most reason to hate him.
Yes.
I think.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, everyone has a reason to hate him because he has lied to, seduced, and abandoned at least 64 women in New York City.
Yeah.
And so he's whittling down the list, and then he brings out his scrapbook, which I found like really troubling that he like took photos against these women's.
Well, he's. Robin asks if they know their photos are being taken, and he says yes.
He said some of them.
No, he said they all know, only half of them choose to buy photos on the way out or whatever.
Okay, so I guess it was consensual, the photos.
But there are, like, there have been jokes in the past, though, right. about him, like, videotaping women.
And they were all, like, in very compromising positions. Yeah. Like, when they're looking at the scrapbook, they're like, oh, wow, that angle. You know, so they're obviously risque, I guess. So Barney's just like stumped trying to figure it out. And Lily, I guess, is very invested in it. And she's like, finally, it's like karma catching up with you. And then he makes a dumb joke about, oh no, karma's a stripper in Vegas and she's forgiven me.
And so yeah, we're good.
We're good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess I don't know why Lily's so like obsessed with him going on an apology tour to these women, but
because she feels sorry for the women and she wants them to be apologized to.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess she wants him to kind of get his comeuppance.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So they're down to the final four. He convinces everyone to like help him come up with this bracket, and he gives them pizza and beer. And by the fourth, they're all sad and tired.
I like two things I like about this. I do like that Barney, for as much of a shithead he is, he remembers all these women's names.
Because he keeps a
scrapbook. But I also like the show acknowledging, like, at first they're kind of, like, having fun arguing about, like, which woman did Barney hurt more. Mm-hmm. And by the end, they're just like, oh, this is sad.
Yeah, they're very sad about it. It's sad. So the final four are Meg, Anna, Kate, and Holly. Meg deserves an apology because, wait, is she the one that he abandons in the model apartment?
Not the model apartment, in Doa Citripla, in the apartment right. that yes, Marshall yes, yes, ended
yes,
up
yes.
buying.
Yes.
Yes, that was the same actress.
And he,
I had her name up for a second.
Though. She says, I love you.
Yeah, her name is April Bowlby.
Okay, so she's not mad at him at all. So
she thinks it's her fault.
She thinks it's her fault. She apologizes to him. We move on to Anna. He tells her that he's Ted Mosby. She hates him so much that she creates TedMosbyIsAJerk.com. Yes. There's a lot of like discussion about like blogs and websites.
Yeah, very dated.
It'll pay off later a little bit.
So this actress is named Dawn Olivieri, and she was in the episode Ted Mosby Architect, where Barney pretends to be Ted Mosby.
And she works at a cafe, and then he stands on a chair and, you know, professes like, I, Ted Mosby, am a bad person. I apologize. I'm terrible. You should never date me. Tell all your friends.
Yeah.
And then Kate, he says he's a twin, Carney and Barney. He sleeps with her twice.
Not Carney and Barney. We'll get to it because it's in my funniest moments.
Okay.
So Kate is not from a past episode, but a little under the umbrella tease. Kate will appear again.
Ah, okay. Of course, he like fat shames her and says like, oh, you've lost weight. Whatever. We can't get through an episode without someone fat shaming.
Yeah.
And then finally, there's Holly who... They were camping, and he abandoned her in a tent.
Yeah.
And it kind of worked out because then, like, she swore off bad dudes and then met Mark. And then he was, like, he is invited to have coffee and breakfast. And then it's revealed that they met in July and not June. So she and Mark were already dating. And,
yeah. This is
so he ruined the marriage of Holly and Mark.
Yeah, but also, This is like the Phoebe and the upstairs neighbor thing. He doesn't say, like, oh, we were already serious in June. Like, he said, we started dating in June. Right. July 4th. So it is maximum 1 month in. Like, how mad can he be? These characters want to act like adults date like it's high school, where it's like, we're going out now.
Right.
And it's just us.
We were exclusive a week prior. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's silly. So they go, so they conspire to do like a fake scene at McLaren's where Barney's going to hit on Robin and then like walk away and see if this mystery girl goes up to Robin. Yeah,
this is, it's a much more obvious plan than the bracket.
Right. Right.
When Robin says, like, why are you trying to find someone you know is following you? Like, just wait for
her. Right.
That was the first thought that I had.
Yeah. So she walks in looking hot as hell, which means she, like, curls her hair and wears, like, an awkward, bedazzled
mini dress.
Yeah.
Oh.
But looking hot as hell. But, I mean, she did look hot, obviously.
Yeah.
Someone immediately like hits on her at the bar and she's like, no, leave, go away.
Yeah.
Come back later. Cause you're cute. That's right. So Barney comes in and hits on her and then like walks away. And then her friend Sally comes in and talks to her and Barney, thinking he slept with her and forgot about her, gives this like legitimate apology, sincere. And she's like, I don't even know who you are. Cause it's Robin's like co-worker or friend.
But Lily's so happy that Barney apologized.
Yeah. Yeah. Lily's happy. And then we still don't know who the mystery is, but we're going to
find out. Yeah, more umbrella stuff.
Yeah. We're going to find out more. And then we get a the final scene at the end, and it's Barney playing himself as Doogie Howser, writing into his little... With the Doogie Howser song.
Yeah. And what restraint for the show to wait 2.5 seasons before going to the Doogie Howser well.
Yeah.
But I wonder if that's something that, like, maybe Neil Patrick Harris was, like, didn't want to do it until, like, Barney was enough of an established character. Because, if they had done the Doogie Howser thing season one, it would have felt kind of pathetic.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Barney's already now an established character, so it's funny. And we've established that he has a blog, so it's funny that his writing in the blog is, like, Doogie doing his, diary entry at the end of the episode.
Yeah. This was very much a Barney episode, so a good time to throw in the Doogie.
Did you all... I'm sure you you didn't, but there's also a montage in this episode set to the song One Shining Moment, which is a song that is very heavily associated with the NCAA men's basketball tournament. That's what they play, like, when they're when the team wins, the final team wins, and they like cut down the net. I don't know if you know about that. They cut the net down to keep that as a souvenir.
Yes. And
usually, like, you'll hear One Shining Moment playing. So that's a song that basically people only remember that song because of the NCAA men's. It's not a good song.
Was that playing when it scrolled through all of the 64 women?
No, it was, now I'm already forgetting. It was at the end of the episode. And it was, I can't remember now. What was happening in that episode, in that montage. But anyway, that's... I figured you didn't know the One Shining Moment reference. No shame
basketball
there.
Basketball is my favorite sport to watch, but I watch, you know, NBA. I never watch this March Madness.
Yeah. Well, I don't really like basketball.
No.
Too much scoring.
It's nonstop.
Yeah.
You could always see where the ball is.
Okay.
And... I don't know. Sometimes it's like watching athletes of this caliber is just impressive.
But that's true of any sport.
But I feel like in basketball, they're truly doing things that most human beings can't do. It's less impressive, like a little puck or like swinging a bat. To me, like the athleticism of basketball is like the Olympics. When you watch the Olympics, it's kind of shocking.
Yeah.
It's.
But I'm saying I'm going to just stick up for hockey because that's my sport that I like.
Be very careful when you stick up for hockey.
Yeah, there's a lot to ashamed of.
Be very careful.
Like, maybe because you don't ice skate at all. Like, you don't know how difficult, how skilled they are.
Yes.
And not just, like, the idea of skating backwards at, like, full speed is, that's very difficult to do. Then the speed with which they move in the NHL is all, I don't know. I feel like I'm all on the defensive, which means I'm already losing the argument. But my big thing about basketball is that it becomes boring because they're constantly scoring. Whereas in hockey or baseball or football, like, scoring happens rarely enough that you can, like, there, you have time for the anticipation to build up. Whereas in basketball, it's like, oh, they ran to the other end and they scored again. And they ran to the other end and they scored again. And it gets old to me.
Hmm. All right.
I could see you, like, stop caring.
I stopped caring. Because this is not an argument that we need to have.
But, I feel like peek behind the curtain when you're making a podcast, sometimes I'm talking to you, but I'm talking to the audience.
Right.
So I'm making my case to the audience.
Okay.
Call to action.
Call to action.
Basketball or hockey?
Yeah. Are you right or are you wrong?
No other sports.
Pick a team.
Basketball or hockey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, should we move on to funniest?
Absolutely, yeah.
So my favorite was, even though I hated the idea of the scrapbook, the fact that Barney goes to the scrapbook store so often, he knows Eloise, and Eloise helps him with his decoupage.
Yeah.
I like
that. That's funny. Yeah. I'll say my first funniest moment was a Marshall line when Ted says something about, like, don't tell me you're not the kind of guy who has a list of every woman he's ever slept with. And Marshall says, I have one. It's called my marriage license.
Yeah.
And then he and Lily
high five.
Yeah.
This is also a funny Marshall one. When they're at McLaren's, like they always are, but they're pretending to, like, be in on this ruse.
Yeah. A roux is like a milky, like a creamy sauce.
It's a butter sauce with flour and butter. He doesn't know what to do with his hands, and he's making a funny gesture with his hands.
Yeah.
What do I normally do with my hands? I don't know what to do with my hands.
My only other funniest one is when they bring up, it's Kate, and Barney's like, it's got to be her. That's the evil twin girl. He's like, it's got to be her. I slept with her twice as Barney and Larney.
Oh, Larney.
I thought Larney was funny.
Yeah.
And then there's a callback when he shows up at Kate's door and she goes, Larney?
Yeah.
And hugs him.
Yeah. I don't know why I thought it was, I wrote down Larney, but it looked like Carney. So when I read it back, I said Carney. Another peek behind the curtain. Okay, what about fashion?
Yeah, go ahead.
There was a terrible Robin, like, drop waist navy dress.
Yeah, it's all bad.
But I did like, there's a good one.
Let me go. I have one. I don't know if you like this or not, but when Lily's by the jukebox, not drawing attention to herself, just dancing, she's wearing, like, what do you call that kind of?
It's a shift.
A shift dress, but it's, like, tight.
It's tight, and then she had tights.
Yeah, very decorative tights.
I like those
tights. Lots of designs on the tights.
She also has a red dress in a scene that I liked. It wasn't as... So even if there's, like, a dress that's not awful, I'm like, oh. It's a fine dress, but it stands out because the dresses are so bad.
Yeah. My last thing, it's not really fashion. I don't know if it's not even props to the props department. It's props to the art director, props to the production design.
Okay.
We see multiple things inside Barney's apartment, which is not a place we spent a lot of time. And he has a collection of, like, axe and shovel heads. He has, a shelf that have, like, these concrete blocks that have, like, shovels and, like, pickaxes and stuff. Like, you're supposed to, if you're a stone worker or whatever, some kind of mason or whatever, if you're making that would be the head that you would, like, fasten onto the...
Okay.
It was a cool collection, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
I couldn't keep my eyes on it.
Yeah. Okay.
Under
the umbrella.
So we've got there's a reference to Barney's mysterious job. We haven't had references to Chandler's mysterious job lately, but we're getting further and further into, like, not only is Barney's job mysterious, but it's, like,
nefarious.
Sinister. Yeah, yes. So it's something that, like, he's like, if I weren't such a good liar, if I'm not a good liar, why am I not serving 10 years for perjury? But yes. That's enough about work.
Yes. I had that, too.
Yeah. So we already mentioned that Meg from Doe is a Treebler returns, Anna, whatever, from Ted Mosby Architect, Kate will appear again. Those are the main things I have. What else do you have?
I have sparks between Barney and Robin.
Okay.
During that.
Oh, yes.
During that scene, he, like, seductively, like, puts his hand on her thigh and she's digging it.
And then he whispers something in her ear. We don't know what.
Wonder what it is.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, there's some fat phobia and, let's see, Barney just, like, categorizing, like, types of women, objectifying women in every way possible. Reasons why women go to pet stores, reasons why women go to hardware stores.
Yeah. I like the bit when they're, like, trying to guess what his lie is at the museum.
Yeah.
And is it Marshall who gets, like, you're losing your eyesight and you want to see as much beauty as you can before?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, well, should we move on to similarities and differences between the two episodes? Because there's a big one.
Abandonment?
Just like men having wronged ex-girlfriends and having to apologize or having them still being angry.
But, the fact that Joey abandoned Ginger and Barney abandons everyone he sleeps with.
But specifically Holly we see in the...
But, yeah.
In the on the campground or whatever.
There's obviously, like, some, in both episodes, there were jokes about, disabled, like, ableism.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, the shows keep finding new ways to surprise me in the way that, like, how did we,
they don't
how did
well.
I, because I watched this
when
it aired, and it, like, I don't think it registered as much. Sad for me.
Also, this is a very minor similarity, but there's a character named Mark in both episodes. Mark was...
Is Holly's new husband?
Holly's new husband and also Rachel's
co-worker. That's right. Well, let's move on to playing favorites.
Okay. 3, 2, 1,
How I Met Your Mother. It's a tough one. Yeah. It was a tight one for me this week.
Yeah.
But I think... I don't know. You can give your reasons why I feel like the pace of this How I Met Your Mother was very good in a way that it was a high-paced episode.
I appreciated that it didn't jump around in ways that frustrate me. I know that's what people love about the show.
Yeah.
But I guess when I have to recap it, it's a struggle.
Yeah, that's absolutely. And I think I just laughed. Neither one of these episodes are really howlers, but I think I laughed more at How I Met Your Mother this week than Friends. But this Friends had some great stuff between Ross and
Friends
Rachel.
Did have great stuff. It had great guest stars. I did like the Doogie Howser bit and How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Friends we talked about before, like the good like character development arcs.
Did you watch Doogie Howser as a kid?
I did.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Because it's funny, you and I are watching, as always, watching The Sopranos. Mm-hmm. And Max Casella, who was Doogie's best friend.
Yes.
Oh, no, I'm trying to... Vinny?
Vinny.
Vinny. Yeah. He plays Benny on The Sopranos in the later seasons, and it's always fun to see him. And then, of course, he was in Inside Llewyn Davis. He was the...
Right.
The creep who owned the bar that all the folk musicians played at.
I need to watch that again.
Yeah, great movie. You and I saw that on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
It was my second time. I had seen it before you... Yeah.
I had another one.
Yeah, please.
Wasn't there scenes in museum or discussion of museums?
Oh, you're right.
Yeah,
museums played a part in both.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's move on to. We still need listeners. Name this. Give us a name for this segment of like the when we read the calls to action and listener interaction. Because right now we've still got it is. Pen Friends, which is not very good.
I like Pen Friends. Pen Friends, Let's Be Friends.
Yeah. So, where was it? Okay. Alice, I don't know if we've heard from Alice before. Alice says, I love how delighted David is when Natalie abandons her robot voice. You guys are the cutest.
Oh, Alice, you're the cutest.
Yes, you are the cutest, Alice. Thank you so much for saying that.
Thanks for writing in.
It happened today. Yeah, I shocked you out of doing your robot voice.
But you delighted me.
Yeah, but I still got you to not do the robot voice.
Yeah.
And then Jackson, he's like a super listener.
Yeah.
He responds all the time. Jackson says, it's fun hearing the challenge accepted segment every week and knowing who's going to win. Because he's a super fan of I guess, both shows.
So he knows the episode, what's happening based on the titles.
Yeah. So those are our main bits of feedback.
Thanks for writing in, Jackson.
Please let me know if I missed anything that anyone said.
I'm sure we both did.
This week you got to let us know hockey or basketball.
Right. And why.
And also, did you watch Doogie Howser?
Yes.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's funny watching this show now, because now Doogie Howser is such an old reference.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm guessing our listenership is probably people our age, right?
Probably younger.
Think younger?
I think so.
Because I wonder, like, it's probably weird to someone, because Neil Patrick Harris came back. I mean, he was very successful on stage for a long time.
Yes.
But as far as like movies and TV, he came back in the 2000s with Harold and Kumar and then How I Met Your Mother. Mm-hmm. And now he's just like stayed back and he's a fucking celebrity now.
Yeah.
You know? But like, it's weird to think that there was a time that he was a child star.
Like,
he was a former child star who was not in movies and TV for a considerable amount of time.
Yeah.
And he was like mostly just known for being Doogie Howser.
Yeah.
And now he's a full-on celebrity who is also always seems to be skirting being problematic in numerous ways.
Yeah.
But talented. I don't know. He's been in a number of movies lately that I don't think you saw. He's in The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent or whatever, the Nicolas Cage movie.
Okay.
More importantly, he was in Matrix Resurrections, the Matrix 4 last year.
Okay.
Which was a good movie. Nicolas Cage movie, not as much so. But I don't know. Call to action. What's your favorite Neil Patrick Harris? What's your favorite post Harold and Kumar Neil Patrick Harris role?
Yeah. What was the thing he did, like the Joss Whedon like musical?
Oh.
Mr. Hoggly Wogglies. Something like that. Mr. Magician. Wait, let me keep guessing. Mr. Incredibles,
no.
All time.
No. The listeners don't know that Dr. Hoggly Wogglies is a, unless they're from Los Angeles,
barbecue.
It's a barbecue place in North Hills, in the North Hills neighborhood of Los Angeles.
Mr. Incredibles, wonderful.
It's not a mister. You had it right with Hoggly Wogglies. He went to medical school.
Dr. Pimple Popper.
Not Dr. Pimple Popper.
Dr.
You're saying like Mr. Incredible, but Incredible's a good thing. What's a bad thing? It's Dr.
Oh, Dr. Terrible's.
Very close.
Dr. Trouble.
No. What's the word that's very similar to terrible?
Dr. Awful.
And it also ends in ible.
Horrible.
Dr. Horrible's. It's a musical.
Dr. Horrible's.
Bouncing little.
Sing along.
And then what does Barney have? What does Barney have that ever that Ted
computer?
Reads? No, Ted reads Barney's
scrapbook.
No,
manifesto.
His blog. It's called Dr. Horrible Sing Along Blog.
Oh gosh, I'm so sorry, listeners.
The listeners loved that.
I don't think so. Did you watch that show, listeners? Let us know.
Yeah,
I didn't see it.
Yeah, I watched. I mean, it was a web series, but then I think I didn't watch it when it first was like. I don't know if airing is even the right word, but I did eventually watch them all just like cut together into like like a 45-50 minute piece. I remember it not being bad, but also like, I feel like talk about like people who become problematic, like Joss Whedon.
Mm, mm-hmm.
It's so Joss Whedon that I wonder if I'd be able to even enjoy it now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is sad. I I was such a Joss Whedon fan for so long, and I still consider Buffy, maybe, you know, top three TV shows of all time.
Yeah, he did a lot for faux feminism.
For faux feminism
in the 90s.
Yeah, he got a lot of credit.
Yeah.
For feminism.
Yeah.
In the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, he also like he wrote Speed, uncredited.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
What's his name? Graham something is the credited screenwriter on Speed, but Joss Whedon did like. It's funny to like, if you're watching like a Joss Whedon thing that he also is the one making, or if you're watching like an Aaron Sorkin show that he's the one like making, you can't escape. Like, oh, that's obvious him. Obviously him. It's fun when someone with a distinctive voice then gets like filtered through a different director, mm-hmm. you know? Because Speed doesn't like feel Joss Whedon-y. Right. But then if you watch it knowing that,
you're like, oh,
some of the dialogue is very, when Alan Ruck like looks under the bus and sees the bomb, or no, Keanu Reeves looks under the bus and sees the bomb, and Alan Ruck is supposed to be like relaying what he says to mm-hmm. Jeff Daniels, mm-hmm. and Keanu Reeves goes, fuck me. And Alan Ruck goes, oh, darn. That's a very Joss Whedon
moment. It is. Yeah, that movie is so good.
Yeah.
I want to watch that again.
Me too. Let's do it right now.
Okay.
Well, that's Pen Friends. Help us with a name. Help us with a name for the correspondence with listeners segment. I feel like there's got to be some, yeah, correspondence.
What about when, remember when Rachel says, I'm keeping up with my correspondence? So in the section called Keeping Up With Our Correspondence, yes, and you have to say it like Rachel.
Yeah. I think she says, did she say catching up on my correspondence? Okay. Which might even be funny.
That's even funnier. Okay. Yeah. So this segment, until we have a better name, it's Catching Up With Our Correspondence.
Yeah. I'm not sure we're going to find a better name than that. I think you nailed it.
Okay.
Let's move on to my favorite segment to introduce. It's called How Were We Doing? This is where we look at what was happening in the world on the days these episodes aired. So season 3, episode 14 of Friends, the one with Phoebe's ex-partner, aired on Thursday, February 6th, 1997. Here's an interesting thing that happened on that day. In England, a woman named Diane Blood, in court, won the right to use her dead husband's sperm to have children.
Okay.
I like looked up the story. It's a fascinating.
Okay.
Story.
I don't remember that in the news.
No, I mean, it was in England and we were 14 or 15 or whatever. Yeah. 15 or 16, whatever we were. But that's the most...
I think it would make it across the pond.
Yeah, probably. Top 5 songs in the U.S. Number 5, Whitney Houston's I Believe in You and Me. Number 4, The Spice Girls' Wannabe.
Oh, how does that go, Davey?
Well, I'm saying... I said I only sing the songs that I like. Is Wannabe a good enough song that I should sing it?
Yes. It's a great song.
I don't know. I don't think I like the Spice Girls.
No. Well, you're wrong.
Number 3, this is the one that maybe put the rule in place, because I don't like this song, and I don't like this person. R. Kelly's I Believe I Can Fly. Yeah. And number 2, En Vogue's Don't Let Go, Love. And at number 1, Toni Braxton's Unbreak My Heart. The listeners must be, like, thrilled that I'm the one who sings? Like, you clearly have the better voice than I do.
Oh, God, no. They know that I do not.
Season 3, episode 14 of How I Met Your Mother, which is called The Bracket, aired on Monday, March 31st, 2008. We're getting so close to you and I knowing each other.
Ooh, yeah, that's fun.
Like, by early in season 4... We'll be able to say, like...
This is when we met.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
cute. That'll be very fun. So, Monday, March 31st, 2008. Here's something that happened that day. The Italian city of Milan. I like that it...
Yeah.
Specifies by the Italian city of Milan. Which I've been to. You been to Milan?
Nope, never.
I've been to Milan. Is selected to host the 2015 World Exposition. After winning 86-65 in a vote against Turkish Izmir. So, I didn't realize there are still, like, world fairs.
Yeah.
There are.
Yeah.
And I think this is, like, dumb, like... I try to, like, avoid, like, that American exceptionalism or, like, what's what I'm looking for? Isolationism, where people, like, Americans only care about American mm-hmm. things. But, there hasn't been a world's fair in America since the 80s. There was one in New Orleans in 84, which I didn't realize. The last one I knew of, and I only because they like reference it in an episode of The Simpsons, is there was like early 80s, there was a Knoxville, Tennessee World's Fair.
Hmm.
But I only know it because of The Simpsons. I didn't realize there was one after that in New Orleans. But there hasn't been a World's Fair or World Expo. We could do a whole episode or a whole series of podcasts, I think, unpacking World's Fairs and World's Expos. And I tried to look it up today and I was like, I don't have time for this.
Yeah.
It's very complicated.
Yeah.
And there are World Expos and then there are like special expositions or exhibitions, which I think like the Knoxville one was not an official World Expo, it was a special exhibition. It's a very complicated thing that I did not have time to learn all about.
Okay.
But I did look up here the top five songs in the US.
Okay.
At number five, Sarah Bareilles' Love Song.
Gonna write you a love song.
Yeah. At number four, Chris Brown's With You. At number three, Ray J's Sexy Can I. All right. Richly knows that song. Do you think the listeners hear? Oh, they definitely heard that.
Yeah.
What is your problem? At number two, Usher's Love in This Club. And at number one, Leona Lewis's Keep Bleeding Love. Bleeding Love. Probably a song I didn't like at the time, but has really grown on me.
Yeah.
There's a difference, you know, like, I think we've already talked about this. The difference between, like, a song being catchy and a song being, quote-unquote, sticky.
Okay.
Like, sometimes there are songs that get stuck in your head that you don't like.
Yeah.
Because they're sticky. But yeah. I think Bleeding Love is a catchy song.
Or, like, jingles, like we talked about in Friends.
Yeah.
Jingles are sticky.
Yes.
By design.
Final segment. Challenge accepted. This is where we look at what was... this is where we try to predict what's going to happen next week on both shows, armed only with knowledge of the episode titles. But let's look at how we did last week.
Oh.
I did very poorly. I said Phoebe once had a flame with another lady, and now that old flame has sparked back up again.
Yeah.
No. Not really. This is not a romantic thing.
No.
You said the gang create an NCAA-style bracket, but get this, instead of b-ball teams, they're pitting romantic and sexual partners and endeavors against one another.
I mean, I think more right than you, but I don't think that's a point.
You don't think that's a point? Well, you know what? We're currently tied, so let's stay tied.
Stay tied. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. You definitely got closer.
Yeah.
But it wasn't... They weren't competing with each other, I think, was the main thing that you were...
I had to narrow it down to...
Yeah.
Whose bracket.
So, can you vamp for us real quick?
Mac and cheese bites. Chicken, cilantro, mini wontons. Buttermilk brined half chicken.
Getting hungry.
Hot Italian sausage. Mango jicama slaw.
Do you think the thing that Barney whispered in Robin's ear was the phrase hot Italian sausage?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
All right. Season 3, episode 15. Oh, I've even heard of this one, so I'll have to figure out something. This episode is called The One Where Ross and Rachel Take a Break.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have to come up with a prediction that isn't...
They're obvious?
Isn't just, like...
Right.
What the episode is called.
Yeah.
So, I guess... Tough. What are they going to fight about? I think it's going to be an extension of... the conversation this episode.
Okay.
Where Rachel is going to be like, I'm not leaving you, but I need some time. Like, I'm blossoming in my own way right now, and I need some time to follow that thread and see where that's going to get me.
Okay.
Before I can be, like, full-time relationship gal.
Okay.
So, Rachel wants to... follow her own muse for a bit and hopes Ross can wait around for her without being too much of a pud about it. even know what that is. That's just what he is.
Okay.
Doesn't that sound like what he is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a puddle?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
How I Met Your Mother, Season 3, Episode 15.
Okay.
Is called The Chain of Screaming. The Chain of Screaming.
Okay. Who's going to be screaming in this chain? It's multiple screams.
Yeah. Yeah.
A chain of screaming. Okay. Are they screaming? Okay.
Don't ask me.
Okay.
I can't answer anything.
No, I'm just, okay, so everyone in the gang is going to scream at some point in the episode.
Okay.
And they're going to be afraid of something. Each one is going to scream in fear of something. Is that not detailed enough?
I wrote, I scream, you scream, the gang all scream in fear.
Yes.
Is that good?
Yes. That's perfect.
Now, normally, sometimes, like with Sarah Chalk, I like to, like, make you try and guess who the guest star is going to be.
Okay.
The big guest star in this episode is so fun that I just wanted to be a surprise for you. So we're not even going to say.
Okay.
There's a great guest star.
Okay.
In this next episode.
I'm excited.
Yeah, someone you and I are both fans of.
Oh.
Someone increasingly that America is a big fan of. But you and I were early on the on the train.
Okay.
All right, well, we did it. We talked about Season 3, Episode 14 of both shows. You can find, obviously, posts for... You can find the episode, the podcast wherever you found it. You're listening to it. You did great. You can keep doing that.
Well done.
Yeah, congratulations. But you can also find posts for every episode at battleshippretension.com. You can leave comments there. That's also where you can find my other podcast, Battleship Pretension, and also all sorts of movie reviews and other kind of movie-related stuff over at battleshippretension.com. You can email us, or you can follow me on Twitter at Davey Pretension, and you can email us at the one where I met your mother... @gmail.com. Now, Natalie, where do you want people to find you and track you down on the internet?
Please don't. No, please don't. But
no one knows what that's from.
No one should. But I do.
If you, that's the call to action. If you know what Natalie was just referencing with, no, please don't.
No, please don't. Please don't do that. That's please not let a real. Us know. That's not a real call to action.
Yeah, I want to know if anyone knows it.
But, yeah, if you like this episode, you should rate, review, give us 5 stars if you liked it. You should definitely tell your friends, definitely tell your mothers. Yeah, that's how people find us.
Yeah.
It's the best way to do it.
Yeah, reviews are great.
Reviews are great. Until next time, see you on the barge.